So we've been working through the book of Proverbs. I've mentioned a few different times that Proverbs deals with everyday kinds of situations, things that inevitably we deal with in our life. And this evening, we're going to talk about something that we deal with a lot in our life. Looked at a few different studies. Several of them said that the average person speaks about 16,000 words a day. That's quite a bit. And part of what Proverbs tells us is that our words have great significance. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And so words are powerful. Words are powerful in part because they can destroy us. They can destroy us, that words are destructive. Proverbs 11:9, "With his mouth, the godless person destroys his neighbor. Through knowledge, the righteous will be rescued." Or later in that chapter, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. One who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a person of understanding keeps silent. One who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, but one who is trustworthy conceals a matter." The words of the wicked wait in ambush for blood. It's an interesting picture, right? We usually think about the idea that someone waiting in ambush is someone who's going to physically harm you. And yet, Scripture goes against our little nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Words can harm me. Words can bring about great harm. They hurt as if it was a thrust of a sword, 12:18 says. "The one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword." Or 25:8, "Like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow is a person who gives false testimony against his neighbor." And it's not just a picture of physical pain and suffering. The Proverbs tells us that ultimately the reason this is the case is because it does go into our very spirit. "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." And 19:28 tells us that our speech actually can make a mockery of justice. "A worthless witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked swallows wrongdoing." That through our speech, we can actually allow evil to continue on in this world. And it's destructive of relationships. "A worthless person digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. Perverse person spreads strife, and a slanderer separates close friends." So what kind of speech is speech that destroys? If our words have the power of destruction, what kinds of words have that work of destruction and the words that we need to make sure we avoid? And some of what Proverbs point to is what we'll see described here. The first is perverted or twisted, evil speech. Proverbs 10:31-32, "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue, the twisted tongue, the tongue that does not line up with God's will and wisdom will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted." And really, that's a general description. Speech that does not line up with God's character. Specific kinds of speech like that would include gossip. Proverbs 18:8, "The words of a gossiper are like dainty morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the body." 25:23, "The north wind brings rain, and a gossiping tongue brings an angry face." 26, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no gossiper, quarreling quiets down." That gossip ends up being fuel to the fire of strife and conflict. And so it is destructive. It is dangerous. 17:9, "One who conceals an offense seeks love. The one who repeats a matter separates close friends." That if someone who really cares about others realizes not everything needs to be said and shared. And we live in a day in which it's very tempting to want to know tidbits of information that really we have no business knowing. And we tend to think we have a right to know so many things. But it's really pretty rare that we have a right to know other people's business. So we need to make sure that we are not engaged in gossip or feeding gossip, because gossip is destructive. The second kind of speech that is destructive is slander. Whereas gossip, I think, is really focused on sharing perhaps true information that shouldn't be known, slander can include false information as well. And specifically, gossip's probably more focused on just, I want you to hear about this. Slander is a bit more focused on, I'm trying to harm the other person in some way. Proverbs 10:18, one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and one who spreads slander is a fool. 11:13, one who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. One who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Or again, we saw this earlier, a slanderer separates close friends. And really the point there is people who should be on good terms with each other. Slander ends up harming relationships, often long term. And perhaps you've seen this in your life, perhaps you've seen this in other people's lives. So we need to be very cautious whenever we're talking about someone else. We need to be very careful that we are not in any way engaged in gossip or slander, because these are dangerous, destructive tools that Satan uses to harm other believers. Related to these as well is lying. Proverbs 12:17, one who declares truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. Not trying to get at what is right, but trying to give you a different perception. 14:5, a trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness declares lies. 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who deceives lies, who declares lies, is deceitful. And again, in our day, it seems as if there's little value placed on truth. We care less about whether or not something's true as to whether or not it fits with the ideas we already have in our head. And so we easily latch on to things that seem like it could be plausible to us. And often we'll even argue for things that when we find out we're wrong, we're not willing to give in, and we're not willing to admit it because we don't care about the truth. We're willing to lie to get our way. We're willing to deceive in order to push forward an agenda that we have. And yet that is incredibly wicked. It is destructive speech. The fourth kind of speech that destroys is proud speech. Proverbs 27:2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I think many people would benefit from taking this proverb to heart. And some of it, I confess, there's things in our culture and in our society that almost try to encourage you to build your own brand, to speak up about the things you have done, to trumpet your own accomplishments. And yet, this proverb is still true. We should not be singing our own praises. Or Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And I think it's important to see the contrast there. A babbling fool is really that is, she's constantly putting out, like a babbling brook. It's just pouring out from him. What's the opposite of that? Receiving commands. The person who's willing to say, you know what, I don't know everything. I need other people to give me insight and instruction. The fool doesn't think that way. The fool always thinks, well, I have all the answers. The fool always thinks, I have wisdom. I have the right opinion. And so he's constantly sharing his own thoughts because he's not humble and he's not teachable. And prideful speech is destructive speech. The final kind of speech Proverbs points to and warns us about is hasty speech. Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable. But one who restrains his lips is wise. I mentioned the average person speaks 16,000 words a day. And you know how averages work? That means probably there's several people who speak a lot more than that. And Proverbs here would probably be telling us, we want to be on the other side of that number. We don't want to be getting above that. Because the more we speak, the more likely we are to sin. And so instead, we need to restrain our lips. 13:3, one who guards his mouth protects his life. One who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The person who's constantly speaking inevitably moves towards destruction. 29:20 is one that's, I think, really important to keep in mind. Because if you look through the book of Proverbs, you see that the fool is someone who seems as if he's almost beyond hope. And yet, Proverbs 29:20 tells us, you see a person who's hasty with his words, there's more hope for a fool than for him. I heard it put, you know, think about all the times in which you've said something and you wish, I wish I could get that back. You know, I put my foot in my mouth again. And essentially, Proverbs would tell us, put your hand over your mouth so your foot can't get in there. Restrain your lips. Think before you speak. Because if you are hasty with your words, you inevitably will say things that you regret. You inevitably will say things that are wrong. You inevitably will say things that are destructive. So do not be hasty with your speech. Because, as Jesus says, by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 12:13. An evil person is ensnared by the offense of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. 18:7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who declares lies will not escape. 21:23. One who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. 21:28. A false witness will perish, but a person who listens will speak forever. Our words are destructive, and ultimately they will not only destroy others, they will destroy us unless we guard ourselves. The power of death is in the tongue. And yet Scripture also says that the power of life is in the tongue. That our words are powerful. They can give life. And there's a personal benefit. A person will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a person's hands will return to him. Or 18:20, with the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. I think what both of these proverbs are pointing to is the principle in Proverbs that you reap what you sow. If you work hard, you will receive the benefit of that. And the way that God's designed things is if you work in the right way, you'll benefit from that. And the same thing is true with your speech. If you use speech in the right way, you will reap the rewards of that. You'll reap the benefit of that. That part of that is because of how you will benefit others, but part of that as well is God's blessing to those who follow him. But there is, as I said, a benefit for others. We'll see more of this as we look at some of the specific ways in which speech is said to do this. But just a few verses to help us to see this. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Or Proverbs 10:20 and 21, the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver, and the lips of the righteous feed many. 12:18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. And this kind of language is pointing to the health, life-giving benefit that is offered from the tongue. 12:25, anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. 15:1-2, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I think that's just verse 1, actually. And then 15:4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Or 20:15, there is gold and an abundance of jewels, but lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. And so our words are incredibly powerful, and they have the opportunity to give life, to give healing, to provide nourishment to those who are around us. And so just as there are certain kinds of speech that it is destructive and life-destroying, certain kinds of speech is also life-giving. And so what kind of speech gives life? And the first we see is the opposite of what we saw with gossip and slander and lies, is that life-giving speech is honest, truthful speech. One who declares truth tells what is right. Truthful lips will endure forever. And so we, as God's people, serving the God of truth, need to be those who are committed to speaking truth. Second kind of speech is informed speech. Proverbs 18:13. One who gives an answer before he hears, it is foolishness and shame to him. Or Proverbs 18:17, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. I don't know if this is original with Pastor Dorn, but I know as he taught through this several years ago, he helpfully kind of summarized these two principles in saying that a wise person listens first and listens fully. Listens first, verse 13. But if you start to give an answer before you really even know what's going on, that's kind of foolish. And sometimes there's a tendency to think, well, I know what you're talking about. I know what's going on. I don't really have to understand the situation. I'm just going to give an answer. And yet, that's not the path of wisdom. That's the path of folly. But the second one's just as important. One person comes, and you listen very carefully to that person, and you think, I've got the whole picture. I know exactly what's going on. But there's a reason, if I can say it this way, there's a reason why Scripture consistently says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That even someone who is speaking truthfully from their perspective isn't necessarily giving the whole truth. They may not be intentionally lying. They may not be trying to mislead you in any way. But they may not actually understand everything that's going on. And they may be inevitably slanting things in some way to kind of give their own perspective. And so simply to come along and say, well, person A says this, and person A is trustworthy, and if person A says that, then we need to believe person A, goes against the wisdom of Proverbs. Because Proverbs says there's a person B involved in this too. And you cannot make a fully informed judgment until you hear from person B as well. And I recognize there may be times in which it's really difficult to get both sides. But I think the path of wisdom would still call us to at least be a lot more cautious in saying we have drawn the right and proper conclusion if we can only ever hear from person A. We've got to make sure that we are informed and listening before we speak. Again, if I could just kind of give us an encouragement, it's hard enough to do that when you're actually with people. It's almost impossible to do that when you're talking about situations that are removed from where you are. And yet we tend to think we've got the inside scoop because we saw someone share something on social media. And that, I think, leads us to speak very foolishly. And often leads us to lying and to gossip and to slander. We need to be people who listen fully so that when we speak, we are truly informed and we're able to speak knowledgeably about the issue. Third kind of speech that is life-giving speech is restrained speech. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable, but the one who restrains his lips is wise. Think about the times in which you said, you know what, I almost said that and I'm glad I didn't. And then think about all the times that it would be better if you'd done that. The path of wisdom is not to say everything on your mind. The path of wisdom is rather to think carefully about what you're saying. The one who guards his mouth protects his life. Why? Because just like it's important to be informed, it's important to be careful when you give an answer. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. That it's certainly wise in many instances to say, you know what? I don't have an opinion that's ready to be given at this point in time. I need to think a little bit more carefully about this. Before I begin to say something, I need to take a step back. I need to be cautious. I need to ponder what is the right way to answer, what is the truth that needs to be given here. 17:27, the one who withholds his words has knowledge. And one who has a cool spirit is a person of understanding. What's the opposite of a cool spirit? A hothead, right? And a hothead is someone who often says things that once he has that cool spirit, regrets what he said. So be very cautious about ever speaking when you don't have a cool spirit. Be restrained in your speech, because even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. And there's probably a few reasons why that's the case. One, I think generally the thought is maybe you don't speak as much. The assumption is you do think more carefully. I think probably the other reason is that most of us, because whenever we sin with our speech, the more we speak, the more we sin, the more we act like a fool. And so we need to be restrained. That often wisdom means not saying something rather than saying something. And that it's not wrong to say, I don't need to give my opinion on this issue. God's not called all of us to speak to everything in this world. And so it'd be much better for many of us to share less of our thoughts. A fourth kind of speech that is life-giving speech is speech that is needed or necessary. Sometimes it's needed in order to uphold justice. A truthful witness saves lives. The one who declares lies is deceitful. That if you do have the truth, and this is, I think, specifically dealing with the kind of a court of law, that someone who is willing to testify truthfully allows justice to be done. And when justice is done, it is beneficial ultimately for society. And so sometimes it is necessary to speak up and to say something. Sometimes it's necessary to actually rebuke someone else. An open rebuke is ultimately better than love that is concealed. If you say, I love you, but I'm not willing to say anything, it's not really as good as loving someone enough to say something. The one who rebukes a person will afterward find more favor than the one who flatters with the tongue. Now, we don't necessarily need to go around constantly telling everyone what we think is wrong with them. But there are times in which, out of love for a brother or sister in Christ, we need to go and rebuke and confront. And that kind of speech is ultimately life-giving speech. Mentioned a couple weeks ago, maybe not right now, But eventually, afterward, that person will be able to see the value of what you have said. Or sometimes we need to say something because we're in a position to speak up when others are not. Open your mouth for the people who cannot speak. The rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth and judge righteously and defend the rights of the poor and needy. The fifth kind of speech that is a life-giving speech is gracious or apt speech. 15:23, a person has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. And that the life-giving speech is speech that gives it at the right time and in the right way. 16:21, the wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. That it's not wrong to think, how can I say something in a way that's most likely to convince the other person? That yes, there are times in which we need to be very strong in our speech. There's times in which we need to be harsh in our language. But there are also times in which we need to seek to have a sweetness to our speech, because that's much more likely to draw the other person toward us rather than to push them away. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Pleasant words. 22:11, one who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. Or 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver, is a word spoken at the proper time. And one of the reasons we restrain our speech is we realize not every time is the proper time. But when we're able to speak at the proper time, it's a beautiful, life-giving thing. Through patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks bone. That often our best hope to actually see something accomplished is to patiently, gently, lovingly seek to persuade rather than to lash out. Because sometimes if we are willing to be that kind of patient person, we can accomplish much more. And the sixth and final category of speech that gives life is wise speech. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. An evildoer, the plans of the heart belong to a person, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Or like an earring of gold and a jewelry piece of fine gold is a wise person who offers rebukes to a listening ear. That our speech should regularly be filled with God's words, God's wisdom. And in a sense, think about that first one, the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. If someone says, what does God think about this? We want them to think, I want to go to him, I want to go to her, because God's wisdom is right there on their lips. They're constantly speaking God's truth. And that's a place I can find wisdom. So how do we get this kind of life-giving speech? And the first is really tied in with what we just saw there. We need to seek wisdom. Because what does someone with wicked lips and a destructive tongue listen to? He listens to wicked lips. He listens to liars. He's constantly feeding on sin and falsehood. And inevitably, he's going to begin to speak sin and falsehood. But a wise person is someone who stores up knowledge. It's constantly looking for more, storing it up so that he is then able to speak. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Because one who has understanding welcomes that rebuke, wants to be corrected, wants to gain wisdom and knowledge. The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. In many ways, this is all related to really the heart of the issue, which is often in Scripture the issue of the heart. As Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so if we just say, I want to change what I say, we cannot start with what I say. We've got to start with what's in my heart. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. What's the opposite of the lips of the wise? The hearts of fools. Lips and hearts are set there in parallel because our lips are a reflection of our heart. The one who has a crooked mind finds nothing, and one who is corrupted in his language falls into evil. The crooked mind is what corrupts his language. 22:17, extend your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to knowledge. And mind and heart in Scripture are really similar ideas. It's pointing to the inner man. And when you apply your mind to knowledge, it will be pleasant if you keep them within you so that they may be ready on your lips. That you filled your heart, you filled your mind with God's word so that it is ready to come out of your mouth. Verse 23, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. And my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. I think that's kind of a chiastic structure there. The two inner ones are the same. My own heart will be glad. My inner being will rejoice. When? If your heart is wise and your lips speak what is right, because that's an indication that your heart is wise. Those are tied together. And so if we want to have life-giving speech, we need to allow God and His Word to fill our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you might help us, Lord, to sin less and less with our tongue. To remember, Lord, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, Lord, help us to guard ourselves against deathly destructive speech. And help us with hearts that long for you and are filled with your word to be characterized by life-giving, soul-restoring words. Or that you might use us in the lives of your people to bring back joy, to bring delight, to help one another on towards what you have called us to do. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.